Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
Star Trek Podcast.
Whoever the author is has gone to a lot of trouble to keep his identity a secret. It's been encrypted.
Why do you suppose someone would try so hard to be anonymous?
Well, think about it. Whoever plays this program takes on the role of a Starfleet security officer who gets approached by Chakotay to help the Maquis take over the ship. I mean, it's pretty inflammatory.
You think we should tell the captain?
Probably.
It would be pretty hard for us to give her a full report if we don't know how the story ends.
Excellent point.
Great. Can you reset it for me?
You? I was just getting to the good part.
Oh, come on, B'Elanna. Be a sport. I've got to be back on duty in less than an hour. Besides, isn't half the fun of a holo novel having someone to talk it over with?
All right. You owe me one.
Downstairs TV.
Thank you, Googles.
That Googles quite a girl. She's just always on
that
top
Google.
Stuff.
Okay, how about this? Now, time to start the show.
Yes, at long last.
From our perspective,
it's got Star Trek podcast.
It's time to start the podcast program.
Take a beat.
All right. Hello.
Try to look at the bigger picture.
Hello.
Hello.
To the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
That's like a beginning of a Madness song. It's like, good morning, or it's hello, good morning, and welcome.
Yes. All of that.
With some piano and saxophone, some two-tone, like, guys going, boopy loopy 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 loop. I'm British, I'm gonna skank.
Okay. All right. So just for, you know, full disclosure, Dan was the one who was complaining that we hadn't started the podcast yet.
Okay.
And now he's doing this.
Now he's skanking all over the place.
This madness vamping business.
I wasn't complaining.
He's skanking.
Were you talking about when you were singing earlier?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. I guess I was.
Dan was annoyed that I decided to sing.
No, I didn't mind that you were singing. It just kept going.
Well,
like,
yeah.
Songs are long. And I was like, is he going to sing like a whole 5-minute song? That's like,
it's a couple minutes.
It's like when you go into a bit, you know it could end at any second. But when you're singing a song, you know you're in for the long ride.
All right. Well, like I said, now we're ready to start. Oh, you, man, more than any of us are ready to start the podcast. So that's what we're doing. Okay. Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast. This is, Is this 170? Is this
169. Episode 169?
Is this 169?
Oh, yeah, because we didn't say 69, dude, last
week. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So this week.
Yeah, that's this week.
Yes. So it's what?
That's how it is.
Episode 169. Mm-hmm. 69. Ha ha tee hee.
169.
And we are discussing a Voyager episode this week because the algorithm, Dan's proprietary secret algorithm that he doesn't tell Jesse and I the details of.
Well, he told us the details, but we didn't really understand.
It spit out a list.
Algorithms.
Ah, Jesus.
Was that?
That's algorithms. That's what I'm saying. I don't get that.
Okay.
New algorithms.
Yes, his algorithm.
New algorithms.
Yes, and listeners from last week will know that we have given Dan the ability to play sound clips. Mm-hmm. We're at least piloting
this algorithm
functionality to see how it works out. But his algorithm,
it's been encrypted,
which ingests the way his algorithm works.
It's been encrypted,
and I know regular listeners will be aware of all this and we'll be wondering why are we saying this again. No, we just have to occasionally explain it. The algorithm takes a transcript from our previous podcast episode and then spits out a list of Star Trek episodes to pick the next one that we should listen or talk about.
I need more access to the narrative subroutines.
And in this
algorithm.
in this case, Dan's algorithm, the Dangrithm, gave us this a list of Voyager episodes, and this was near the top. The other ones at the top we had already discussed, because that is a quirk of the algorithm, is it tends to suggest episodes that we have already discussed
and the same ones sort of over and over again.
On the Discuss Star Trek podcast.
Generally, sort of. Yeah. There's an arc.
Yeah, the algorithm has a bias.
There's certain ones that it picks every week, but then if you go down the list some, there's usually a bunch of different ones. I posited that perhaps maybe it is like those were more conversational episodes, so it would just so happen that our conversational podcast would coincide more with a conversational episode.
But I don't think your algorithm, forgive me if I'm understanding your capabilities, but I don't think your algorithm is sophisticated enough to judge the vibe.
But it's because if you have a more conversational God damn it. If you have a more conversational presentation, if your dialogue, whether it's through podcast or TV shows, is more conversational, and a podcast would be more conversational, if you had an episode of a TV show that was more conversational, that would imply that it would use similar words.
Do you think these episodes have been more conversational?
I don't know.
But it's also doing episodes that we've already talked about.
Yeah. That's because it doesn't get rid of the old episodes. That's why I'm saying it picks the episodes that we've already talked about.
It's like what we've already done like becomes part of like what it looks for.
No, I mean, I think they've always just picked those. It doesn't like accumulate ones that we've already done. It's different. It's like totally a new data set each time. Okay. It's just picks tends to, there's like three or four of them that it tends to pick over and over again, and it favors DS9 heavily. And I think that it's just because maybe the type of conversation we have in favors a certain type of words.
I think
words.
Your algorithm
maybe
just has
the,
good
maybe
opinions.
It's the tone of our podcast. And the tone of Deep Space.
Look, I'm just making one hypothesis.
I'm just saying I find this all very peculiar.
I find it peculiar too, and I don't know why it's doing it, which is why I'm making a hypothesis. But I'm open to suggestion because I really don't know at this point.
But I'm totally cool with it because it has. Suggested a number of excellent episodes to discuss. We've always
sure did.
We've always worked through these weird little quirks.
Whatever you say.
I should have shortened that one a little bit, maybe.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, we're still experimenting around with that. So, okay. All right. So, I don't even think we mentioned the title, what we did pick.
Yeah.
Pick
Voyager, I think I've been distracting people.
Worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is episode 25 of the third season. So, which it's season 3, episode 25.
Which is interesting, but actually totally meaningless, because last week, the Enterprise episode we did was season 1,
episode 25.
25.
I know. Right, yeah. Maybe your algorithm likes picking the exact same episode numbers.
Maybe, even though that's not part of the list in the script.
And I don't think we've done any other 25th episodes, at least not from the algorithm.
Well, I think my hypothesis is more likely than yours.
I didn't offer a hypothesis.
Well, you just did. They're saying that maybe it picks numbers.
No, just because he said... this is my hypothesis, if it's a hypothesis. I mean, you can't just say...
I'm not asserting it as
a hypothesis. It's not an understood hypothesis.
I think he just said it was his hypothesis.
What's your null hypothesis?
You're the one that's saying hypothesis.
The null hypothesis is that you're incorrect, right?
He's the one who said it was his hypothesis, and I was like, mine is more.
It wasn't my hypothesis.
I thought you were talking about hypothesis.
Okay.
This
is hypothesis.
Hypotheses
talk. People know that we're dilly dallying, and we shouldn't be dilly dallying. We should be.
I know.
Into
we
a,
really need to get
a deep and intense conversation.
They spent 20 minutes talking about dilly dallying
about this particular episode.
Let's do it.
What background do we need to know going into this episode? There's a few things.
Voyager, they're stuck in the Delta Quadrant.
Okay, yes. That's sort of like the most basic one, but I think there's a
For 7 years.
People know that. I meant more along the lines of knowing that Seska...
Seska.
Not Seska. Seska.
No, Kes is a different thing to talk about.
I know, but you said Keska.
No, I said Seska.
No, you said Seska.
But I
whose side are you on anyways, Jesse?
I'm on the side of reason.
But Seska is a character who was fairly prominent in the first couple seasons. Mm-hmm. Who was
She's annoying.
She was well. She was on the. She was part of the Maquis group. She appeared to be a Bajoran.
She was actually
but she was actually not
a Cardassian.
She was a Cardassian who was spying on the Maquis.
And I think she died in the episode State of Flux.
Totally died.
Yeah, she ended up dying. But point being is she was a Cardassian spy undercover for the Maquis. And then she was on Chakotay's Maquis ship along with B'Elanna when, you know, they got thrown into the Delta Quadrant with Voyager. And then they teamed up. And then that added, she had some interesting dramatic stuff going on in those couple seasons because she was...
She's really one of the few of the Maquis that, like, was like continued to be hostile.
And more of that was because she was a Cardassian.
Yeah.
Like, because she wasn't actually a Maquis. So she was just aggravated having
a Cardassian
to do all the Starfleet style stuff. So all that aside, she died. And everyone's like, we saw you die. So that's, I think, an important thing to understand in terms of the way characters react.
Seska was killed when the Voyager crew retook the ship from the Kazon.
Yeah. After the basics?
She escaped from the ship and she got tied up with some other aliens and like she, you know, sort of got screwed over or something. And
then, yeah, she was hanging out with the Kazon. There's a whole long history with Seska.
I think it's State of Flux. I think it's season one, episode 11.
Yeah, but no, it was after that, I'm pretty sure, because there was all the basics.
Why do I have that?
There was the basic stuff. Anyway, it's irrelevant. All that's relevant is that she's dead.
The actor that plays Seska is married to one of the Disneys.
What do you mean, one of the Disneys?
Somebody in the
Mickey Mouse?
Disney family.
Oh.
Donald Duck?
His name is Tim Disney.
Wait, now I'm...
Did you make that
Tim
up?
Disney?
No, I looked it up.
Tim Disney?
She's married to Tim Disney. Yeah. Good afternoon, I'm Tim Disney.
He's like a grandnephew or a great-grandnephew of Walt Disney.
I gotcha. All right.
Cousin of Randall Disney.
I don't know about a Randall Disney, but...
He only knows about Timothy Disney.
So...
I'm Timothy Disney.
Yeah, he's got a really high squeaky voice.
So when I type in what episode did Seska die, I see State of Flux come up and I see Maneuvers come up.
Maneuvers?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, dude. Well, does it matter? Those aren't the episodes we're talking about.
Yeah, we're not unpacking the entire history. Just setting up the fact that...
She collapsed and died reaching for her baby.
Yes, her baby. Maybe.
Basics.
Yes.
Basics.
That's what I said earlier. There's a two-parter, and that's
so somewhere along.
You said basics followed that episode. You said basics followed the episode that she died.
No, I'm saying I thought that was the episode she died.
So, like, Seska somehow, she got off the ship, and she's such a sneak that she decided, like, you know, just in case anybody ever decides to mess with this program, she's going to put a booby trap in it.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. No, that was
but it's really crackpot that she did. That's like such a nutty thing to do. Like,
the episode was fun. I understand why people say this is often top 10 lists.
No, it is.
And especially of holodeck episodes.
I like it.
Holodeck's gone wrong episodes.
It's a good holodeck
Seska episode. Seska messing with it is better than some of the other.
It's better than Piss Full of Datas.
Definitely better than that. On the other hand, it does seem to be a little ridiculous to me. Like, my whole secret plan is I'm going to mess around with this.
The possibility of this trap being sprung is so low that it's just so nutty. Like, oh, just in case, I'm just such a conniving sneak.
And it was so sophisticated. You're right. So on the point number one is it's unlikely to be reactivated as far as she understands. And secondly, that the level of sophistication is such that it's overriding, like, hugely important ship systems.
It's like if the Maquis even had like a couple of Seskas, they would have fucking won, but they didn't. Because they suck.
Yeah. Well, and also she wasn't actually Maquis.
And of course it was able to pull the old, like, override the safety protocols. Like, you can somehow, for some reason, program in a hologram that can override the safety protocols. Why didn't she just, like, drop, like, 100, like, sort of following what Jesse was saying, she could have just made like 100 copies of herself and wreaked even more havoc. Like, end to this.
Why did she make it so that she didn't, like, shoot them right away?
Yeah.
Shoot. Anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Wait, Jesse,
why didn't she put a holo version in, like, one of the holo programs they already use, like that ridiculous pool hall in Marseille or whatever? And, like,
what was that? What was that word you? She did what kind of trap?
Booby trap?
Booby trap?
Booby trapped subroutines. Okay. Booby trapped subroutines. Yes.
All right. Okay. How about we start at the start?
Okay.
Per tradition, and talk about the opening sequence, right? It was fun to see B'Elanna walking around. You're like, what's going on? You figure something's going on. I think the only drawback to this episode and this, or at least the first segment of this episode, when you're not quite sure what's going on yet, you do not yet know that this is a holographic program, is that if this episode had taken place in, like, season one or something, you'd believe it. Whereas in season three, you don't think Chakotay's trying to get
That was really confusing.
So you know something's
weird.
Up.
It's weird right off.
And they and they kept calling everyone. Well, we got the clue that the I guess it, you could look at it as it was a clue that something was going on because like they were also calling Ensign all the time. They weren't calling, and so that was like the hero was Ensign. You know, so I don't know.
I didn't like I noticed that the second time through. I was like, yeah, right. That is
video game style.
Yeah.
Right, and then it's and if you actually watch the opening, B'Elanna, the first shot of her, she's looking like all curious and a little bit psyched, like she's looking around like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah.
It's kind of subtle, but the first time I watched it, I was like, I didn't think of anything. But then the second time I watched it, I was like, oh, she's like looks like that because she's exploring a Hollow Novel.
Yeah,
and so she's
it's a video game. They call them Hollow Novels to sort of class it up a bit. But they're video games.
It's like a role-playing video game.
There's nothing wrong with video games, but it was the 90s, and people in the 90s were all like, the kids shouldn't be playing the video
game. Well, yeah, when the Neelix was... when Neelix was like talking about, like, you're talking about the new Hollow Novel, I tried sending an encoded message to Captain Janeway's shuttle to warn her about the mutiny, but Chakotay caught me, phasered me, and the program reset. Next time, I'm going to pretend to go along with the conspirators and then stage a counter-strike. That's line right there.
I mean, that's very long. I mean, there's a very long excerpt that you read out there.
I know. I was wondering, like, should I just, from here on out, instead of reading these scripts, should I just record them and play them back?
Well, yes.
Or is it more fun if I say it myself?
Well, I mean, it's look, there's more fun. The more professional thing would be to actually take the clips.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And take the recordings, and then you could play the recordings live and be like, well, we're going to comment on
this. That's what they do
this.
In the big time.
Yeah, the big time.
Big boys.
The types of folks that get invited to the Star Trek Picard premiere parties in the old Hollywood. We didn't.
The old Hollywood with the big letters.
They're like, this got Star Trek boys, they're a little too mouthy. A little too mouthy. We can't have them showing up at our party.
They talk about the Orville too much.
But what's the difference though between a Hollow Novel and what we now like back in TNG when Picard and Guinan were on some kind of like private eye ship,
or
when they go to the Old West in TNG, that's the Hollow Novel essentially what they're doing,
right?
Yeah. And
video games, by the way.
And the Hollow Suites are like porno Hollow Novels. Porno Hollow Novels. I mean,
on Deep Space Nine.
There's no real narrative, like, I guess.
No, you can have porn stories, but they also have other files available.
Yeah.
Just to clarify.
Anything goes.
On Deep Space Nine, you were not obligated.
I'm just saying, like,
there's baseball.
Yeah, there's holographic baseball.
Yeah. You're saying DS9, you don't have to have sex on DS9.
Yeah, you don't have to have sex on Deep Space Nine.
You don't have to have sex on Deep Space Nine.
You do not. You may, but you do not have to.
Mm-hmm.
You are under no obligation.
So really, what's the difference between a Hollow Novel and anything else that people do?
The thing is that you've
different
said this
TV show.
Just the way, sorry, Jesse, the way Dan is saying this is worrying me because it sounds tonally like there's a punchline coming up.
Oh,
no,
I don't think there is.
There's no punchline.
I don't think there is. It just feels because you keep saying, what was it that you were saying?
Well, I was just saying that, like, what's the difference between a Hollow Novel and a holodeck and anything else?
I don't know, Dan. What is the difference between a Hollow Novel and a holodeck?
One novel's your hollow and one hollow's your navel.
Oh, no.
One deck's your hollow and one hollow's your navel. One deck's your hollow and one hollow's your navel.
Crash
and burn. Wait. Man. What's the difference between a Hollow Novel and any other kind of holodeck?
What's the difference
between
a Hollow Novel and any other holodeck thing?
Pretentious.
One deck's your hollow and the other hollow's your navel.
Good, yeah. Classic. It's one of those brute force punchlines. You just keep saying it over and over.
Yeah,
eventually people just accept it.
Take it. I'm going to force it down your throat.
Yeah, well...
So
well observed.
So
Hollow
right.
Novel.
So
pretentious nonsense. So,
Chakotay to all hands. Let's do it.
Yeah, and Chakotay was he was talking about how
let's do it.
70 years left.
Let's do it.
He was talking about 70 years left with that guy. Isn't Chakotay at least like 40 by now? Like, how old is Chakotay? Do we know? He's got to be at least 40. And he's talking about, I don't know about you, but I couldn't stand another 70 years with that Tuvok character.
7 years.
He said 70.
I don't think he said 70.
He said 70 years.
70 years would make sense because at this stage they were still about 70 years.
Were they doing 70?
From Federation space.
Okay, I'm sorry. My bad.
Yeah.
I heard seven.
Well, there was 70,000 light years.
I'm looking at the quote. It says, I think about spending 70 years on the same ship with that guy gives me a headache.
My ears is failing.
Did you look that up on Chakotay.net?
Chakotay.net.
A haven for Star Trek scripts of all manner and all type.
So speaking of this opening,
DirtyMaki.com.
So speaking of that,
did you say DirtyMaki.com? We'll look that up after we're done recording.
Okay, so I guess we haven't gotten to the idea of how they repeat the first half of the episode yet. So they kind of go through like 15 minutes of the episode, 10 to 15 minutes, and
with
then
Bellana,
and then just decide to start over again. And then,
well, I mean, are you talking about the writers?
Well,
you're like, and then they just decided to start over. It was because Tom got involved.
Yeah, I know, but it's like,
and he wanted to play the video.
I know, and it's doing the thing that has been done.
Quick question, Dan, because you might know the answer to this and it's relevant.
What?
To everything that comes after this. You mentioned how the main video game characters, the player characters, an ensign. And it is referred to as ensign. Do they have the ensign pip?
I don't know.
Yeah, there was a pip. I saw a pip.
I remember the uniform, I think, was pretty standard.
It was always an ops uniform.
Okay.
Yeah, an ops uniform, but I couldn't remember. I didn't think to look for the pips.
They make their uniform.
And I also don't like Voyager style pips, if I'm being honest. I'm glad they reverted back to TNG style, like circles. You know what I'm saying? It's like Voyager had the little diagonal action, and I was like, I don't know. So,
Then the Maquis got their own thing going on. I don't even understand how that one works.
Yeah. So the pips were there. I didn't notice that. Jesse did. Did you also notice that when Paris was running it, of course, there was like NPC Paris as well?
Yeah.
Does that mean that when Harry plays the game, like that the Harry in the corner was...
Harry has to shoot himself.
He has to shoot himself. Yeah. Right. That's fucked up. The writers, they did the thing which has been done before where you go back and you replay the scenario, except slightly different parameters, so it kind of veers off a little bit. Although I felt like in that when they repeated the beginning of the Holo novel, it kind of went on a bit long. It kind of dragged on like a
they
minute or two longer.
Right
than
at the beginning.
Yeah, they did. And actually, if you want to hear something real quick, like it takes about a
minute. Do we have the facility to do that now?
We do. You know how we can do it? We can do it through magic.
Okay.
So this is the opening. This is the opening. This is the opening conversation.
This is the opening.
With Bellana and Chakotay.
Where are you headed?
The bridge.
Mind if I walk with you?
Not at all.
So, how's it going?
Not bad, I guess.
Tuvok still giving you a hard time?
No more than usual?
I don't know about you, but when I think about spending 70 years on the same ship with that guy, it gives me a headache.
70.
I get the impression a lot of the crew agrees with me. Maquis and Starfleet.
Now Paris.
Where are you headed?
The bridge.
Mind if I walk with you?
I was kind of hoping you would.
So how's it going?
Couldn't be better.
Brown
Tuvok still giving you a hard time?
Oh, doesn't he always?
I don't know about you, but when I think about spending 70 years on the same ship with that guy, it gives me a headache.
Not to mention an upset stomach.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm going to play it.
Tuvok's the kind of guy you want on this ship, man.
Now I'm going to play it. With just Chakotay talking, except for one bit at the end, and it's overlapped.
Where are you headed? Mind if I walk with you? So how's it going?
Chakotay boring.
Tuvok still giving you a hard time? I don't know about you, but when I think about spending 70 years on the same ship with that guy, it gives me a headache.
Not to mention an upset stomach.
I get the impression a lot of the crew agrees with me. Maquis and Starfleet.
That was
Maquis and Starfleet. All right.
We have
the answer to an earlier pre-podcast recording mystery where Jesse and I were confused because Dan was over there with his own personal separate headphones on with such an odd little smile on his face, self-satisfied smile.
I was actually seriously smiling at something. You were saying something interesting about a
different
thing. What's funny is that Patrick,
I was like, that Dan knows he's got something good, and it's that Chakotay double.
He had his own headphones, different than the headphones he's wearing
Chakotay
now
thing.
For
that's,
the podcast.
Dan, that's the kind of thing that puts a podcast on the map.
I would say,
guys at It's Got Star Trek, they put the tapes together.
They put them together.
It matched up.
Well, you're in luck, because I got one more.
That's the kind of thing that makes people go like, I'm going to march over to iTunes right now.
I got one
and
more.
And I'm going to give them a 5-star rating.
And then I'll come along and give them a takedown notice. Because they used it too much.
They used too many.
Now, I think it was funny that you don't believe that I thought that you, that I when I say I was laughing at something you were saying, you don't believe it. That's how, what kind of low self-esteem well, you must
it,
have.
It was because it wasn't laughter. It was, yeah. You had a look on your face where you were like proud. Like you had just, like you just accomplished something so great. And now I know what it was. It was because you knew that you had this excellent recording, because that was really cool.
Okay. Well, I have one more.
It was a little strange.
Yeah, it was strange.
Is this one Chakotay? And it's the same one you just played, except it just has Janeway asking for coffee over and over, like auto-tuned to a techno beat in the background.
There's coffee in that nebula.
This one is actually kind of a longer one. Do we have time for one that's 2.5 minutes?
I think we do.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Because okay. we can talk. Like if Jesse and I are like yeah. get a little squirrely or bored, we okay. can be all like.
So this is the scene beginning with Janeway, and when they're going the whole mutiny scene. Okay,
the whole mutiny scene.
And one of them gets ahead of the other one at a certain point, and gets way ahead of the other one. And that's just probably you. It's probably sent. I mean, I can tell you which one gets ahead. Do you want me to just tell you which one gets ahead, or do you want to guess?
Why don't you just tell us which one?
I vote for guess.
Okay. Okay. I guess it doesn't matter, does it?
No, I'm excited because you seem embarrassed about this.
It's not embarrassing. It's just one of them gets really ahead.
Okay, just go ahead and play it then.
Calibration. Well, Commander.
Calibration.
Voyager's all yours.
It's the first time for everything, I guess. Don't worry, Captain. I'll keep your ship safe and sound.
Shuttle ready, Captain Janeway.
Go ahead, Mr. Paris.
Shuttle's ready to go whenever you are.
On my way.
Captain, I've been thinking.
Are you sure you don't want to take Lieutenant Tuvok?
Just in case the Reconnaissance turn out to be less friendly than they seem.
I assure you, Commander. You, on the other hand, are still adapting to your duties as first officer. Under the circumstances, I believe my time will be better spent assisting you in your efforts to justify the trust the Captain has placed in you.
I appreciate your concern for my safety, Mr. Chakotay. Lieutenant Paris and I will be just fine.
I'll see you in 24 hours.
It's like some
kind of excellent counterpoint. Ensign, make sure she doesn't run into any
trouble. Let's shut down the transporters and start that diagnostic we've been putting off.
Sir, are you sure we shouldn't wait for the captain to get back? Do as the commander tells you.
We ain't found shit.
Have you finished upgrading the internal sensors? Have you finished upgrading the internal sensors, Ensign?
I'm working on it, sir.
I hope so. Wait here.
Milana was very staccato in her lines.
No, it's just tomorrow's duty roster.
Like, so she decides to go along with Chakotay right away.
Is something wrong, sir?
And then, like Paris is like going back and forth so much that like Chakotay doesn't even
trust him anymore.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tuvok.
We're almost there.
Sort of.
Chakotay to all hands. Let's do it.
Captain Janeway, shuttle has gone to work. Thank you, Tuvok.
Chakotay to all hands. Let's do it.
Let's do it,
sir.
You sound like somebody who's like, fuck!
It's not over yet, Chakotay.
You're wasting your time, Harry. All my teams have taken control of security, engineering, and all key systems.
You'll never get away with this. People will fight back.
That's going to be a little difficult. All your off-duty Starfleet friends have been locked down.
Your off-duty Starfleet friends.
All your dirty Starfleet buddies.
Click, click.
I guess you've made your choice.
All right, so that was very long.
Yeah, that was.
But it was cool. You do illustrate the point very well that it uses the pretty much the same thing over and over again.
But right, and
weirdly well done.
It diverges in certain
places.
It's
like a clip show of itself.
In certain places it does diverge, in certain places it doesn't. Like for the let's do it, like this is when he says it with B'Elanna.
Let's do it.
Paris.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
They sound exactly
let's
the same.
Do it. Yeah. Let's do
so
it.
So here's it is back to back.
Chakotay to all hands. Let's do it. Chakotay to all hands. Let's do it.
That sounds exactly the same. But some of them sound slightly different.
The question is, do they clip it
by scene? Are they saying the exact same recording and just the scene is cut up differently? Like they're shortening parts? Or?
I think it is multiple takes. The question is it multiple takes paying especially close attention at replicating things, or is it purely the professionalism of the actors involved, or a combination of the two?
Yeah.
You never know. It's that, the magic of Hollywood.
That I posit to you and the wider audience is the question at hand.
The wide audience.
The world may never
there
know.
There may even be an easy answer to this question. I couldn't
How
tell you.
How many licks does it take?
A three.
One.
But you could tell the one of them, that one that was that long one, that it got off kilter.
Long one,
it got
yeah.
off kilter at a certain point. And I'm wondering, I guess that's based upon slightly different choices that the ensign made combined with just the way they chopped the scene. Like the second one, of course, was going to have to be slower or quicker, shorter. Which is what
it
I hoped
like
would happen.
It was like a magical fuse.
Because the second one went on too long as it was, but at least they made it a slightly shorter than the first one. But it's like we replayed the beginning of the episode, and there wasn't as much different to keep me really that entertained for like the second playthrough of that first beginning. Why was she all pissed off anyways? Couldn't like...
Who was pissed off?
Well, he was like, let's start over. And she's like, oh, I just started. But it's not like she was doing it with him. Like, couldn't he go to another holodeck and,
yeah, right.
and do it?
Yeah.
Watch, you know,
how many holodecks do they have?
How many
I didn't say that. That's not how I talk.
Holodeck 3. Okay, so
how
about...
Time for a break.
Yes, I think it's time for a break. It's right about that time. And when we return from the break, we will return.
We're going to tell you what it's like.
To our conversation about Star Trek Voyager's Season 3 episode.
The worst case scenario.
Worst case scenario, the 25th episode of that season. All right. We will be right back. Okay, now we're back.
Mm-hmm.
We indicate that we're back by explaining that to the audience.
We came right back.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Back again.
Back again to do the thing. Back
Showtime,
again.
Showtime, go time.
Wasn't it something? Back again. What's that? Woot, 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 woot. This is how I woot, 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 woot. Hey there, back again. Big, I make.
Why can't I remember?
I make the people say wump, 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 wump. The people.
Whoop, there it is.
Whoop, there it is. That's what it was.
Yeah.
I make the people say wump. What? The Cabana Boys or something?
What are they called, dude?
So let's see. Chakotay's friends are Ayala, Carlson, O'Donnell, and Jonas.
Yeah, and Jonas in a previous episode was hooking up with Seska. Not
hooking up with Seska.
Okay.
Hey,
I don't think
tag
they hooked up.
Team.
But
tag
he was
team.
He was a Starfleet guy who was like, you know, this whole Janeway business sucks because she's dilly dallying and following all the rules and shit. Mm-hmm. So I can't remember the details, but it was a ways back when Seska was still alive.
So
yeah.
Another clue that something was off was because Tuvok and Janeway were both basically like, Chakotay, we can't trust you yet.
Yeah.
So you have to like stay with us.
Yeah.
So I guess that was another kind of thing. But what was the whole deal with Harry? Like Harry got berated. Like they made it a point of berating Harry like in each scene. Like Tuvok, like...
Well, that was what Voyager.
That's just they're just always hating on Harry.
They're just always hating on Harry. What it was? Well,
it's part of the narrative structure of every Voyager episode. At some point, Harry had to be dressed down. In
yeah.
Because
you
play clarinet too much.
Because I think it was Chakotay said something about like, well, let's run those diagnostics while we have time. And Harry's like, I don't think we should do that. Or no, he goes like, should we be doing that with her away? And then both times Tuvok's like, Harry, do your fucking job.
Yeah.
And so, right. So dressing down of Harry. That's a bummer, man. Why? It seemed unnecessary.
It's very unnecessary.
I didn't get the whole thing where Paris, he blocked the shot, right? He was like, Harry, look out, you know? Remember that? And then the next scene, remember that part? It was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
He blocked that shot. It was pretty sweet. He like knocked him down. He's like, hey, Harry, walk out. And then he like did a spin kick and hit the phaser blast away.
They're
off
best
the wall.
Buds, those guys.
He did a back kick and hit the phaser blast into Janeway's shuttle pad.
Back kick.
And then the next scene, they were in the jail cell, the brig. And it was
continue, please.
They were in the brig. It was Tuvok. And Paris,
okay.
Ensign, they were talking, and like, and Paris was all like, "I'm super bored by like having to wait to do this." And then Tuvok was like,
"I am not concerned with your amusement, Ensign."
He was like that.
Say it again. I'm sorry.
I am not concerned with your amusement, Ensign.
Yeah.
So because they were doing
Tuvok rules. Tuvok is the best Vulcan there's ever been.
Yeah, and best Vulcan that there's ever been.
He is. Tuvok's rad. He's just right a straight up Vulcan. Yeah. He doesn't have any weird Vulcan problems.
No.
He's not making babies with human ladies.
He doesn't fuck around, right. That guy, man.
He's just a standard, good old-fashioned Vulcan boy.
Is he a bog standard?
He's a bog standard Vulcan.
He made a joke at the end, just like he did a Spock at the end. He made like a silly joke. Way,
Vulcans like making their little silly jokes. Yeah.
He was actually emotional in this episode. We can get to that in a bit. But so when they were in the brig, why did Chakotay let Paris out? Because Paris knocked the phaser blast away with his back kick. He did a spinning back kick and knocked it into the Janeway shuttle pad. And so why did Chakotay take him out of the brig? It doesn't make any sense. Wouldn't Paris was even saying to B'Elanna after it was over, he was talking about how Chakotay distrusted Paris so much that he, quote, assigned me to lubricate the warp plasma manifolds. So like Chakotay distrusted Paris's character, obviously. Yeah. So right, because Paris like fucked up his shot.
He kept flip-flopping.
So can either of you answer me why he let him out of the brig? Can either of you answer that question?
I you know, Dan, as you've been talking, I've been thinking about this.
Were you listening to anything I was saying?
No, I was. And I can't rightly say why Chakotay let Paris out of the brig.
Jesse?
Nope.
No, see, I've considered the point you've made, I'm befuddled in a way that I had not been previously, because it was not a point that I had considered.
Right. So, like, and he was like, Chakotay assigned me to lubricate the warp plasma folds.
That part,
like,
I remember because it was funny because he said the word lubricate.
Yeah, you're right. And so, my question is like, you're lucky to get to lubricate those warp plasma manifolds.
What does he use to lubricate it with?
I don't know, but I'm saying he's lucky that was his only punishment. Chakotay,
and that's like a one person job?
Chakotay should have spaced that dude. He should have killed Paris for like blocking a shot like that.
He
or
should
at least
have been
him,
ejected
or,
into
or
space.
Or at least leave him in the brig. But he shouldn't have been like, oh, he only let me lubricate. Boo, blah, blah, blah. Boo. It's like, you're lucky, man. I don't think my point's I'm making my point properly.
I think you are.
Brilliantly. I think you've made your point so brilliantly that neither Jesse nor I have anything to add on to it.
You've said all there can be.
All we can do is agree with you and join you in your befuddlement. And we can be, as a group, befuddled together as to this flaw in the plot.
I've got to be back on duty in less than an hour.
Less than an hour? because as enjoyable as this episode is, there are many of these types of things. Mm-hmm. I hadn't noticed that particular one. Mm-hmm. But there are other ones that don't make sense. Like, for example, like Seska is just marching them around for a little while. And then she keeps saying, like, oh, I'm going to shoot you later.
Oh, right.
But, like, why aren't you shooting them now? I don't know. Is there a reason? Did I miss it, perhaps?
You don't shoot people later. You shoot people now.
It was just all, it was the video game aspect of it, which was fun. I mean, because it would have been obviously boring if she just murdered them both.
And if you have to shoot someone, you don't prolong it. You just shoot them, right?
Yeah, well, that's why.
Come on.
There was one part where Paris goes to the Holo Seska. He's like, you programmed all
Holo
this.
Holo Seska.
The malfunctioning phaser, the version of Chakotay who's attracted to you, none of it's real. And then Holo Seska goes, you hear that? He thinks this is a game. Show him it's wrong. And like you just said, it obviously is a game because she says, mm-hmm. She counts to 10, lets them run away, which is not a run and more of a light jog that they're doing like a spry
because it's hide and seek.
Yeah, they're playing hide and seek, exactly.
I'm going to count to 10 and I'm going to come find you.
And then she found him and like killed Janeway, but then she was like, okay, I'm going to let you run away again. And it's like, she's, what do you mean it's not a game? You can't say it's not a game and then treat it like a game. And then like the doctor injects him with nitric acid, which seems like it would be bad for you. I don't know.
Yes. And I, at first I thought he said nitrous. Is he just giving him some whippets? But no. Mm. No, it was nitric acid, which sounds less pleasant.
Sounds yeah. Bad.
But also not lethal.
No, I guess not.
Just sort of like stingy.
Yeah, stingy and
it
yuck
seemed
yuck.
Like he was just stingy. And he's like, that's no fun.
Well, I'd say it is a game. It's just a deadly one. Yeah. It's a deadly game. Yeah.
At least it was about to be at a certain point.
Yeah.
It wasn't, up until that point.
So, like, there are absolutely no stakes in this episode up until the final, like, 13 minutes.
What other forms of cuts of meat are there?
I knew you were gonna fucking make that joke.
Loin.
I knew it. I knew. I called that shit.
Tenderloins.
Oh my god. Yeah, I was like, there's no way he's not gonna say something about that.
But the steaks? I don't know. I think I've needed iron lately. Yeah. The other day I was like all feeling down and I was like, I'll get a big hamburger. And I ate the hamburger.
Yes.
I felt much better.
Well, thanks for letting us know what you ate the other day.
It's winter.
That's really important to us.
I think I needed the iron.
Yeah.
And also possibly I watched that movie, The Menu.
Okay.
Oh, word.
And that made me want to have a hamburger. So, you know.
Hamburger. Anyways.
Hamburger James.
There's nothing on the line.
Right, there's no stakes.
There's no stakes until the last 13 minutes when they just kind of create this sort of thing that happens, and it's all solved by Janeway saying, like, okay, now I'm going to do this. And she's like, and then B'Elanna's going, oh no, she did this to counter what you just said you did. And Janeway's like, well, now I'm going to do this. And then B'Elanna's like, oh no, they countered that too. We need to do this. So all the shit that was happening to Wynn was just shit they were saying was happening, and then it happened. And they even made a fucking joke about it. They, at the very end...
Who says Deus Ex Machina is an outdated literary device?
Yeah. So they self-reference the fact that that's exactly what they were fucking doing, which earns them at least a few points, I guess. But it's still like 13 minutes for the conflict.
There was a few writerly jerk-off moments when they're all talking about, the actions of the character must stem from their previously established, you know. It's like, yes, but doing that on Voyager, no offense, it's almost like you're jonesing on yourself, because as much as I loved Voyager, one potential critique of Voyager was they would frequently dispense with characterizations if it was convenient to the plot they wanted to say, sometimes to the detriment of the character growth over the seasons.
Yeah.
But that's a different and longer conversation.
Tis. Well, that's kind of what happened with the 2 days and two nights on Enterprise. They kind of ignored the character traits, kind of, like, for at least with Chip Tucker.
Absolutely. I think a good point. That's the episode we talked about last week. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and one part, Tuvok's like, when Chakotay starts like acting differently at during the climax, because she said he did, Tuvok's like, if I'm not mistaken, the Chakotay hologram is undergoing some sort of character change. And I couldn't tell if he meant like in the literary character development sense, or just like he changed because Janeway just changed some, reprogrammed him. I guess he just meant the latter, but or was it supposed to be some kind of pun or something? I don't know. It was all a really big stretch.
Okay. So if we map out the structure of this episode.
Must we?
No, but we shall.
Oh, man. I feel so gross. I feel so dirty and slimy.
Come on.
The first chunk of the episode is they're playing the video game.
Yeah.
It's B'Elanna playing the video game. And it's all about the drama. We don't know exactly what's going on, but you're like, okay, something's going on.
Okay, at least
and this is interesting.
At least when Wesley Crusher played the video game, it was all building towards something. Yes. This wasn't real. This was sort of building towards something, but it just kind of dropped in.
I think what it is less building towards something, as opposed to there are sort of phase changes that happen throughout this episode.
No, that's more accurate.
And they're not all bad. In fact, I'd say this episode works as is, but there are some things that I think are weird. Because they just, it's a funny choice. So they're playing the video game. Mm-hmm. Then they're playing the video game again.
Right.
But that rapidly turns into, no, now we need to modify and add on to the video game. So it shifts the tone of the story to the drama of how the video game plays out to now it's the drama of creating something new. And there's all this inter-character drama about the nature of creation and what goes into creating story plots and all that other stuff. It's like, okay, that's interesting. And then it goes into, no, now there's a danger and there's people shooting and potentially dying. And then, like, at the end, it's like, oh, and the whole ship could get all fucked up now.
Yeah, right.
And everything's going to be terrible, but we're going to solve it and make some jokes about solving it in the end, and everything's fine. It all works fine, but it's kind of like, maybe if they had picked one of those and gone more in-depth into it and had that be the story.
Well, the second part, that was just about, so there was, I guess, so that was probably less than 10 minutes of the episode. I know there was about 5 minutes where it was just like Chakotay, Tuvok all whining about like Paris's choices or something. So basically, Tuvok, it began with Tuvok saying like, okay, I'm the one who made this thing. And then he's like,
that's great.
Yeah, that was
good. A great story drop right there. It's like, boom!
Yeah, and it was actually-
Tuvok!
And it was like-
Why is he so quiet?
Right, and it was attacked.
Oh, he wrote it.
Yeah, and he was so smart that he knew how to like keep people from looking at it, because
it's been encrypted.
Is that too forced?
No, not at all.
No, not at all, Dad. Not at all. It was quite humorous. The timing of that audio file that you had played previously, but now you've played again.
Yes. I did a better job this time.
All right.
So it's like a training simulation. And he's like, oh, of course it's a training simulation, you know? And then like Tuvok's like, we should trash this shit. And then Janeway goes,
with all due respect, Mr. Tuvok, loosen up.
And then that's when we kick off the whole, like, emotional whiny Tuvok thing. Because, like, he was talking to Paris. He was talking about the Dictates of Poetics by Taine of Vulcan or something.
Taint?
It was, like, Taint or something. And then Paris was like, I don't know anything about plot with Taine, but I know that, like, unexpected plot twists make for an interesting story. And then Tuvok goes, if you think I will allow you to turn this program into a parody, you are sorely mistaken. That is Tuvok getting emotional. And Tuvok being kind of like mm-hmm. a whiny Vulcan. And of course, Paris is wrong because plot twists are good, but only if they make sense. Just suddenly making, this was in reference to Janeway suddenly becoming like some evil bad guy. And it's like, yeah. That's not a good plot twist. But anyways, that's why Paris doesn't write it and Tuvok does. So then Paris makes a comment to B'Elanna about, I can make a steamy love scene between Starfleet con officer and the Maquis engineer, which was like some sexual harassment right there.
Yeah,
I think, but
slightly inappropriate.
They get together later in some.
They always do. But this is an example of how they've been flirting for like a while.
So the second part of Tuvok being emotional and kind of an asshole, he goes, when the doctor has suggestions, Tuvok decides to send him back to the sick bay, mm-hmm. which is kind of like assault, or at least at minimum, just really disrespectful to just take the hologram and just like send him back when he's inconvenient. Now, would they have done that to any other character? You know, maybe Neelix, no. But maybe not even Neelix.
Maybe Neelix.
Yeah, except with Neelix, he would just say the computer beam Neelix into space.
Yeah.
Space creep.
Just beam that motherfucker into space. Let's be done with it.
So then Tuvok refuses to let Paris make changes to his program without him. And then when Paris is like, we can do it together, Tuvok goes like, that's a very rational decision, Mr. Paris, which is ironic because I just provided three examples leading up to where Tuvok was being emotional and arguably irrational himself. And he's using the old, that's very rational. Like, that's the whole, it's the same as saying, oh, God bless you. Or, you know, like, oh, I pray for you. It's like really sarcastic. Yeah. And like, it's like totally against the exact meaning of the words. It's like, that's rational for you to like, you know, do follow my whiny opinion on what should happen, sure. You know?
I found it funny from a slightly different angle, although I appreciate your angle as well. My angle was, I just thought it was funny that he was saying, like, you're being rational to succumb to my threats. Mm-hmm. I have threatened you.
Yes, right, yeah.
And the rational response to my threats are to comply with my demands I will fuck you up.
That would hit.
So I took it like, if you're being rational,
that,
sir.
That is actually rational. That would be rational for Tuvok to say that. Yeah. Because, yeah.
It was like it was a real tough guy moment.
Yeah.
But different interpretations for different purplations.
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 So, anyway, Tuvok admits he has feelings for his creation and, he doesn't want people fucking with it. And he starts getting all whiny about it. So.
He does start getting all whiny about it.
And I have a question about when he says Insurrection Alpha Security Clearance Tuvok 4774. when he, what's the point of speaking your clearance code? Like, if you can say it, like.
I don't know. It's probably like an audio.
Just a show off, dude.
Maybe a change of code
Tuvok,
every time you say it.
Yeah, showboat.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous because, like, if it was just by voice recognition, you wouldn't need a code. And if it's a code, then you wouldn't be saying it out loud.
The voice recognition, remember, Data does that whole impersonating Picard being all like, blah, 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 blah.
Right, exactly.
Like super long ass.
So there is no security on these ships because you're speaking your password out loud every time you use it. Anyway, so there was about 5 minutes of that whole situation was the part two is what you're talking about. And then it led into the whole... And weirdness.
I would have enjoyed, I think, an entire story about sort of the crew coming together and trying to jointly create something intentionally and maybe making some point about sort of the difficulty of the creative process.
Yeah.
And some sort of
that would have been good.
The necessity for organicness or something in order to develop something over time. That sort of no shortcuts to the growth of a community or something. I don't know. You could do something like that would be interesting and fun to watch the characters all sort of nose in and contribute in their ways that that collectively maybe turn out to be something more interesting than the individual components.
Well, it almost feels like they made two episodes, one which was the episode you just described, yeah, and the other which was this whole Seska thing from the start, like the whole Seska hologram business from the very start, and they just chopped off the end of one and put it on the other, like, because it did just like switch right in the middle over to something that was only vaguely related to like what they were talking about. You know, it was just like, oh, by the way, Seska left this holographic bomb behind. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was freaking stupid.
The Maquis people, like, dress like they're, like, from Khan's, like, bunch or something. Yeah. Like, they've been hanging out on SETI Alpha 5 or something.
Oh, yeah. That's how
that's we... That's the SETI Alpha 5!
Space bums.
That's how we knew it was, like, really into the Holo novel, because they changed into their Maquis gear.
Yeah.
Also, Kes had her old haircut.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Hey. That's
and
true.
And as well as Seska being alive.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
So, the Kes business is interesting for a couple reasons. First of all, Kes had her old haircut. And this is only a few episodes before the character leaves Voyager.
Yeah.
Which is early, the second episode in the fourth season coming up.
Completely out of her mind.
So Kes is going to leave soon. What was kind of interesting, and just the vibe was a little weird. They had her in that beginning part in the holographic program with her old haircut. You see her a couple times, but she's basically not in the story. And then at the end, when everyone gets together and is having fun, there's no Kes there that I recall.
Yeah.
They just didn't have
Kes is no fun.
They just didn't have the actress there that day or something.
It's weird. I didn't notice that.
You know, when everyone's in the mess hall celebrating, everyone's there. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of people in the background and stuff, but I didn't see Kes there. Yes.
Even that dirty ass Neelix.
Very strange business. Okay.
This isn't a podcast.
I think I need to record less sounds next time. I think I went a little
sounds?
Over.
No,
fewer. Fine. Fewer. Yes. Fewer. Not less. Fewer. Yes. Less. I meant less time, not fewer time. Less time dedicated to recording sounds. That's what I meant. Because you wouldn't say fewer time dedicated to recording sounds.
No, I wouldn't. I would not. But no, I think you need to record more. I think you should record the entire episode and cut it into various chunks, overlapping chunks of different sizes.
See, I think the problem is I'm distracting myself from the points that I'm trying to make.
What points are you trying to make?
I don't think I've made any of those.
Did you like this
far.
Episode? Did you enjoy this episode?
Well, if it isn't Mr. Anonymous.
Yes. The line deliveries are interesting in this episode.
Because they were written by a Vulcan.
Yeah. There was a part where, I think this was near the beginning, when they were like talking like, Torres goes, hey, take it easy. And Seska goes, I told you it was a mistake letting Starfleet people in on this. You remember that part?
Yeah.
Well, Bailana was, that, I guess
she was not Starfleet people, but she was playing the character of the ensign.
She was playing a character of the ensign. So I guess that you could consider that maybe another clue, I guess, that was...
Right. Yeah.
So all these clues of like what? So that was kind of clever, I guess. You know, that's kind of clever.
Yeah.
They threw all those clues in there.
It's a well written episode overall. I don't know. I think, like we said, we have some weird. Maybe there's some issues with the structure or whatever. But the individual components are well written and fun. Mm-hmm. And I thought that they did do a good job portraying sort of a version of those, an interpretation of those early Maquis characters like Chakotay. Of course, Chakotay very much from the perspective of Tuvok at the time, who had been on his ship following him. And that's always like a peculiar thing to remember, is that Tuvok was on the ship with the Maquis folks because he was undercover. So he knew them very well. And then, of course, now he's all like friends with them, but he knew them for a while. So his interpretation of Chakotay.
How does a Vulcan go undercover?
is kind of interesting from that perspective. What do you mean, how does a Vulcan go? He wasn't undercover as like a non-Vulcan.
Spock went undercover in Star Trek IV.
Yeah, well, he had a headband.
Well, I mean, undercover of a headband. I think I called some part of this episode stupid earlier, and that might have been a little harsh. I don't think it's stupid. I just thought there's...
We're not going to hold you to it.
I don't remember what I said was stupid.
Well, the
but
Seska
I remember
stuff is kind of stupid. Yeah. It's fun, but the in order to stretch it out into a plot length...
Plot.
As opposed to the plank length. You're talking about the plot length.
Yeah, not the plank length.
Not the plank length.
Plank length.
What? Plank length.
Plank length. Plank length. Plank,
not the plank, plank length.
Plank length.
Plank length.
Plank length. Do you notice that Seska had one of them super rifle lasers?
Yeah, it was set on wide. Or
it said, it was phaser rifle.
Yeah, so the point. So this is another point of the laser. The phaser rifle. Trying to figure out what do phaser rifles do. Well, there was
I guess it's got a big ass battery.
What was it? Was it DS9 where they were able to use it to aim at people? Like it had auto aim, or was that Voyager? There was some, or maybe it was Enterprise. I can't remember. One of them with it did an auto aim thing. This one could do a super bolto blasto ball. Okay. And they could also do the regular phasers. Can they do a wide beam?
I think they can too.
They've done wide beam phasers. It's all sorts of settings.
Maybe it just can. They can just last long. No, they don't have problems with batteries in the future.
I
mean,
I think they might.
Your handheld phaser is going to have a wide set in. Your phaser rifle is going to have a wide set.
Yeah,
and more powerful.
But how much power do you need to shoot somebody?
Why would you just shoot somebody in the arm to make it sting and not kill them or stun them when they're your enemy?
You want to blast them so they just disintegrate. They
like
just
what happened
vaporize.
With Paris. Remember at one point the Holo Seska was all like, zap, and she shot him in the arm when she was saying that the safeties were off.
Oh, right.
She was proving that the safeties were off by saying zap, and then she's like, I'm going to find you.
This isn't a game, by the way. Go run.
Seska.
I like Seska. I remember liking the Seska character.
Sure, but she's, you know, she's... You know.
I just, the existence of the character was fun because it aggravated the
she's
crew.
She's
even like before she was revealed to be
a
all
good
shady.
Aggravator.
Yeah.
Isn't it like when they shoot people on phasers on full blast, doesn't it like disintegrate their whole body?
If you have it all the way up.
Yeah, so if you hit their finger with it all the way up, their whole body would be disintegrated. The whole body would be disintegrated.
The whole body.
So why do you need a more powerful rifle if you already have a phaser that can disintegrate an entire person?
Maybe it goes further.
Maybe, yeah, you know what? You actually might be right. It might.
You have
further.
A wider beam. You can hit every, kill every motherfucker.
Yeah, maybe the beam gets all extra wide.
Yeah,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they were. So Chakotay was giving that speech, and he was all like, "We won't be wasting precious time stopping to investigate every insignificant anomaly that we come across." And they said, "What we will do is, you know, acquire technology that can shorten our journey." You know,
he was like, "We'll fuck some people up.
We're not going to do this TV show anymore. We're just going to get back to the Alpha Quadrant.
We're going to do Battlestar Galactica."
Right.
To hell with Starfleet regulations.
And he said,
regulations.
And so, like, isn't the whole purpose of investigating the anomalies, though, is to acquire technology and fuel to get them home? He's like, we're not going to investigate anomalies, but we're going to get technology. And I thought that was the reason they investigated the anomalies, so they could get that
shit. The Maquis did not succeed, as far as I know. Right?
I get what you're saying there, Dan. But I think he's making the point that, you know, Janeway does have them investigate all the stuff, whether it's going to help them or not. And in fact, some of the stuff they do doesn't help them because it's like, oh, we've got to give this thing.
So she's still an explorer at heart.
Explore Starfleet, all that awesome stuff. You know, going to do the right thing. Or at least the right thing from the way that Starfleet has been indoctrinated. Whatever that works. And so I understand what Chakotay's point is.
Well, and then after, during that whole...
He's also saying we're going to like steal shit from people. Mm-hmm. We're going to fuck people up and take their shit.
Pirates. Space pirates.
He was like,
if it's going to help us.
Dirty space
point taken.
Pirates.
In that same conversation, they did that thing that I've talked about before they do that appropriately in this episode though. But they do the thing where they use the same number, but then change the unit, you know, to make it seem like more significant, meaning like, 200 feet, more like 200 miles, you know, like when they do that to like, but they use the same number arbitrarily. So I recorded which one that one. It was this right here. This is Chakotay with Paris.
You have 15 minutes to make up your minds.
I don't need 15 minutes. I'm
with you in 15 seconds.
Did you you hear that? Paris did that.
I heard
shit.
That.
That was upsetting.
I weird. Definitely heard that, sir.
Oh man, you that was hear weird.
It? Let's hear it again.
Okay, just you gotta catch it.
You have 15 minutes to make up your minds.
I don't need 15 minutes. I'm
with
you.
You in 15 seconds.
Did you fucking hate that?
Yes, I can see. I can see how this Dan for the new members of the audience. Dan is frequently annoyed by people using two different orders of magnitude in order to make some sort of a point, and
it's very unscientific.
So he calls them out on it, and this is yet another example of Dan doing that, calling folks out for this.
Yeah. Oh god, they did do that's an order in this episode too, though.
They did.
They yeah. did. Yeah, I bet they did. How about this? Let's did a break.
Let's did a break.
Let's have did a break.
How about
let's that? Get to the state of being where we have recently completed a break.
We just did one.
All right. We will be right back. Okay, we're back from the break.
That's an order, Mr. Paris.
Welcome back.
Welcome.
Yeah. That was an appropriate usage because Paris was like, they were like, okay, do this to save the, to help us not die. And he's like, Paris is like, no, Chakotay, or yeah, no, yeah,
Chakotay.
No, Tuvok,
no. Tuvok,
he said,
no,
Tuvok. He said, Tuvok, are you sure? We shouldn't have to do it. Tuvok was all like,
that's an order, Mr. Paris.
And so it wasn't like some kind of weak ass, like, leave me here to die. No, I will never leave you here to die, Captain. That's an order. Leave me here to die.
Okay, so this is another
right.
another bugaboo that Dan has is when people say that's an order due to some sort of selfless act.
Hey, very well put.
It aggravates Dan, and I can understand why. Mm-hmm. And so again, it is something that he will point out, but frequently, if somebody says there's an order, Dan will argue, as in this case, that it was an appropriate usage of the term.
Well, we just have to make it clear.
But Dan just likes to make it clear.
I haven't...
And then we make it clear because we're gathering new audience all the time, and they might wonder, what's this fella on about? What's this fella Dan on about that
they
I
haven't...
barely know?
This guy's a handful.
Right. I just realized they haven't... there hasn't been an addition... There hasn't been an addition... God damn it. I really was trying to say words.
I'm sorry.
There's no, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. It's not you, Jesse.
I'm just a little pumped.
No, it's not you, Jesse. It's me. I'm apparently can't say words right now.
Because, I've been there, friend.
Yeah.
This always happens when we're watching Voyager.
Yeah. There haven't been any
Voyager related. It's called Voyager related aphasia.
I just realized that there haven't been any additions to inertial dampers versus inertial dampener. I haven't heard that. Damn bananas. Damn bananas.
It's like Jesse talking about damn bananas.
Damn bananas.
Damn
bananas. Don't worry. B'Elanna's on it.
B'Elanna's on it.
Don't worry.
Balls on you.
All right. Okay.
It's been encrypted.
What okay. are we talking about?
Star
Trek Voyager.
Star Trek.
Season 3, episode 25.
See, all my sound effects are totally distracting from any kind of point we're trying to make. I think I got to take it easy.
I don't know what sound effects you're talking about.
The focus has been diffuse.
I don't know what sound effects you're talking about.
We
were talking about Star Trek Voyager's worst case scenario.
Right.
Which, again,
the overnight scenario.
You could argue that the title worst case scenario, when matched together with this particular plot, entertaining as it may be, is false advertising. Because at no point in this storyline do I think that Voyager has encountered something that could remotely be called the worst case scenario.
Yeah. Seriously.
Because the next episode is when they start getting into the Borg.
Yes, yeah, next episode they're dealing with Borg and species
8675309.
And even if it was arguably a worst case scenario, that's still a very generic name for like an episode.
Yeah, and it has to be like the worst case scenario in the context of what? What, that there's a mutiny?
They're already stuck. stuck in the Delta
failed?
Quadrant.
A failed mutiny. There's nothing descriptive about it. Even
that was the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
The ship blowing up for no reason. That's the worst case scenario because you don't see it coming.
Yeah.
You know? Worst case scenario. Come on. Give me a break here with your titles and your clickbait titles. They had clickbait titles before you could click on hyperlinks. Back when you had to, you know, type in them hyperlinks by hand.
It sounds insane.
Write them down. www. http colon. None of that S bullshit. Really? They didn't invent HTTPS yet.
Not yet.
No. Ooh. You put in your backslashes, you put in your WWs. If you didn't, you were shit out of fucking luck. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, that's what it was like back in these Voyager days, back in the 90s. You know, the late 90s.
Yeah. Shit out of luck.
Nuts.
I mean, I know you could click on a few things. I'm not saying you couldn't click on nothing, but there was a lot of shit you couldn't click on back in that day.
What are you going on about, man? What are you on about?
What you can click on.
I'm talking about the internet in the 90s. Telnet.
So I like how there's that meeting in like the conference room and Janeway is all like, so you know this program, like, you know, who's been, and everybody admits to doing it, but like Chakotay doesn't raise his hand as far as I know, right? He doesn't.
Chakotay
doesn't dig it because he's like, oh shit, I am planning.
But wait, but like, no,
maybe I gotta cut that shit out.
But it's funny to think about him like doing it and just like he totally gets a kick out of like walking down the hallway with like a hollow version of himself and being like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, he was all saying something about like, next time you do it, just make me not the bad guy, please, or whatever.
Come on, you're Chakotay.
Yeah.
These are the types of episodes where it highlights the fact that Chakotay sucks. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. It's pretty inflammatory.
Yes, that was pretty inflammatory. I'm not going to say Chakotay sucks, but I was never a big fan of Chakotay. So they have Chakotay playing evil Chakotay, it sort of fits better for me. It works a little bit better. I think he does that better. He plays that role better than the regular old soft chummy Chakotay.
And it's also funny but totally understandable that Neelix at first doesn't trust Tuvok doesn't trust Neelix at first because he writes in that Neelix betrays he switches to the mutineer side.
If I were Neelix, I would have been a lot more offended than he was. He was just like, no, I wouldn't have done that.
Like, you know, that's
now Mr.
Not,
Vulcan,
that's,
what's going on, Mr. Vulcan?
I'm not sure about this plot development.
You're making me look like a piece of shit, Mr. Vulcan.
It's like, well, you're a space creep.
Would you like some more coffee?
I like when he was he was like trying to find out who did it, and then Neelix all walked in the room and goes like,
"Any luck?" "Me neither."
I just sound like really, I really like the cadence of that.
"Any luck?" "Me neither."
I think the cadence. "Me neither." I think throughout this episode, there's a lot of bizarre cadences.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that being the people are playing holographic versions of themselves. Others, it's
written
just
by a Vulcan.
A bizarre cadence show. It's just one of them episodes.
It's the worst case scenario.
Yeah, right. What about at least? Okay, so that's not very descriptive. But then there's the ambergris incident for TAS,
yes.
Which is not only not descriptive. It's like anti-descriptive.
But it's a
like
brilliant. It just sounds genius. Somehow.
Yeah, I know.
Ambergris
element. Oh, it's the element, right? Ambergris element.
Isn't there like a Bob's Burgers where they think they have ambergris?
Yes. Oh yeah,
like some rotten cantaloupe.
Yeah, right. They find some like that sort of whale.
No spoilers.
Yeah, nope.
There's totally spoilers.
Oh, we spoiled it.
Yeah, we spoiled.
We spoiled
it.
Bob's
we spoiled
Burgers.
A Bob's Burgers for everyone.
Oh man, that's a bummer. Oh, it's okay. There was this whole there was a technobabble section where they were doing in their Deus Ex Machina full form.
Technobabble.
Yeah, Blana's all
algorithms.
Like,
new algorithms.
Yeah.
I need more access to the narrative subroutines. I need access to the character algorithms now. Now, if I can just keep modifying the Chakotay hologram.
The program is reconfiguring the subprocessors to counter every change we make. It initiated an overload in the holodeck power relays. The whole grid is going to blow.
Okay, yeah.
I need more access to the narrative subroutines. I need access to the character algorithms now.
Now.
Many times in the past, when we've discussed Voyager, we have commented on the fact, and this is not an...
That was some like leet hack, 90s, that was some 90s leet hackser stuff going on.
This is not original to us. I think many other people have commented on this, that Voyager sort of went overboard with the technobabble. Mm-hmm. And that, so technobabble had been developed as far back as TOS as a way to get past, you know, just some sci-fi stuff. It's not even unique to Star Trek. But as time went on, they started using it more and more, and Voyager is just like fucking sometimes it's just constantly techno babble right here.
But the TOS techno babble is like so much lighter than in comparison to like what came after it.
Yeah, TNG, it's like Sonic Screwdriver.
Yeah, right.
but this definitely felt like this episode was made in 1997. When was the movie Hackers made?
Elite Hackers.
Somewhere Hackers. Around there.
This was made in
before that.
Hackers was 95, wasn't it? I want to say
that. Yeah, it was 95. Yeah. And so this had some vibes from that just because they were like trying to hack. They were like, I'm in, you know, doing the whole, I don't know if they said that specifically, but they were doing those kinds of like hacker, 90s hacker lines where they're just like, yeah, the character algorithms and then now we're in. And so they were doing the techno babble, except it was like hacker speak. And so, yeah, it was.
Leet speak.
It was Leet.
L33T.
Yep.
L33T.
31337. Absolutely.
So elite. 501337.
Yes. I'm so elite. 80085.
Boobs.
Boobs.
That's some elite hacksaw business. All
right. Yeah, so, right.
Yes. No,
and then that same scene, did you notice that they did the whole Janeway and B'Elanna were watching the episode as the episode is happening?
I was just going to mention that.
Oh, shit.
Because that was funny. And it, combined with the techno
like
babble, it was sort of the equivalent of when you're watching a ER or some other, especially older school medical show, and they're just like digging around in some body. You can't actually see what their hands are doing, but they're just all like, oh my God, the fleam flam is double doing. Okay, hand me the double jab and I'll dick it in the
boop-a-loop.
And that's what they're doing here, where they're just clicking buttons, and Janeway's just claiming to be adjusting Chakotay or whoever and adding this stuff. And it's like,
all of a sudden she knows how to write a holocron.
All right.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier. Like she keeps saying like, okay, now this is going to happen. Yeah. And then B'Elanna would respond with, oh no, they're countering it by doing this. And she's like, well, I just need to do this.
It's funny, but it's like, what?
I need more access to the narrative subroutines.
You know, B'Elanna's like, oh no, they avoided it. They avoided the subroutines by going to Floom Flop.
New algorithms. I need access to the character algorithms. Now, if I can just keep modifying the Chakotay hologram.
Oh no, Seska prevented you from doing that. And then they're like, oh, the Rakutis are here. Or what was the name of that that alien race?
The Ribenas.
The Ribenas?
No, it was the Rakani.
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 Rakani, yes. Yeah.
Not to be confused with the Ferrero Rocher.
Rakani.
The Rakani.
Rukani.
Yes.
Rukani.
The Rukani.
Yes, Rukani.
Rukani. All right, but
so I was wondering if when they were watching the show on the show.
Yes, they're watching the show on the show.
I was wondering,
and talking a bunch of gibberish.
And what I was wondering is if they actually played the show on a small TV, or did they like do it in post?
They probably did it in post. I'm sure they did that in post.
Here's an interesting bit of knowledge I'm going to drop on you.
Okay.
When they were
this was all a matte painting.
It was all, and I couldn't tell the entire time. They were moving them so fast between matte painting. It looked like they were moving pictures.
All right.
It was crazy. Right. For the Nintendo version of the
Nintendo.
It's a cereal now. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pies, fresh from the sewers to you. Because it's filled with mutagen goo. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pies.
What was that?
There was a commercial for
it. Was it like lime or something?
It was like some kind of lime green fruit
pie dyed horrific green.
Yeah,
except
it wasn't even a fruit pie. It was like a Boston cream ish kind
but
of
what
thing.
Was the
it was
flavor?
Like some pudding. It was pudding.
It right,
was
a, but what
it was
the,
pudding
the,
inside.
What was the flavor of the pudding?
It was a green flavor.
Just lime, green. Yeah.
I never had one.
It was mutagen flavored.
You never had one? I don't believe that.
Okay. I never had one.
Everyone in the audience,
Dan Glaubitz never had a fucking turtle pie.
Go to YouTube and look up the commercials for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pies.
Did you have one?
In my mind, I'm sure I had one, but I have no recollection.
Have been allowed
but
to eat that.
Lime feels right. All right.
Okay.
So you continue the point for this
Sorry,
episode.
Yeah, I was trying.
Oh, no, it's okay. I was
trying to change the course.
On the Nintendo Entertainment System's version of the arcade's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game, at one point has a scene where they're going through the halls when they're fighting, doing the sideshow beat-em-up thing. There's a television showing the one of the foot soldiers like or Shredder or someone is like looking at the screen going blah, blah, blah. There's a TV and it shows... No, it's not that. It's what it is. Is the TV shows... footage of the game you're playing. Like, as you're playing the game, it's showing up on this TV in the corner.
Oh, trippy.
Apparently, that was really fucking hard to do, and they had to, like, do some kind of, like hacky bullshit, like, workaround weirdness that was, like, they had to, like, you know, it was, like, it wasn't... They did something with the Nintendo that the Nintendo didn't really want to do, and they had to be really creative and had to figure out how to repurpose some shit to, like, make it happen. You'd think something like that would be really easy, but no, they had to, like...
Well, nowadays, it's probably no sweat.
They had to copy, like, the gameplay in a certain way and reflect it onto the TV. It was all complicated. Yeah, today it would probably be pretty simple. No. But back in the Nintendo days...
But all that to say that they probably didn't have to do that.
No, they probably didn't have that
kind of... For this... Television production.
No, probably not. But
it was network television production for the UPN network.
Yeah.
United Paramount
UPN
network. So for me, I think the story may have been mildly improved if it didn't rely on this effectively a Deus Ex Machina solution of Janeway being able to help out and all this other business, but rather if it had been... If it had been more of an internal, like they find some gag in the storyline that lets them exploit Seska in some way, they kind of did that. I liked how they resolved it with holographic Seska.
Holographic Seska.
So to me, it was still a pretty strong ending. But I'm just saying, I think we could have done without this Janeway business. I know they wanted to have her doing something, but maybe something different. Other than watching those live feed on
I'm sorry, that was an accident.
Oh no, what happened?
I accidentally leaned on the button. Oh no, oh no.
Oh
yeah, they didn't have to do that. The Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not a big deal because I think it all does work but, very well. Entertaining.
But they made up for it because they acknowledged it.
Who says Deus Ex Machina is an outdated literary device?
Everybody.
I agree with Janeway in principle. I do not necessarily agree with her in the application of that literary device.
No, I agree. The whole ending, last 13 minutes just felt really unsatisfying too, because there was a scene where Janeway like all exploded because like her gun exploded,
which was fun. I did like it,
but then
it was creepy because she was all like,
and no, that part, that one was pretty cool and fun. But like when they did it to solve the problem, that was, it just felt very unsatisfying.
Yeah.
It was cool the first time, but the second time it was supposed to be a callback to that first time, but it wasn't effective because we never saw it happen. It was just another...
You saw him like do some kind of flittily shit with his hands.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah. It was basically the equivalent of what Janeway was doing, where she was just barking out, like saying what she was doing and B'Elanna saying how she was being countered. Like, it just happened. It was just like, oh, it happened for some reason. They must have, like, programmed it. At what point did they do that? I don't know when Tuvok reprogrammed it. I guess he just did, you know?
And the whole time, Harry was trying to transport them out of there. But, like, they did that shit. So, like, by the time he was able to do it, it was too late. And so it was just another attempt. It was just another chance to make Harry look bad. Like.
Trying to fuck up Harry.
They're just like, this episode is just another jab at Harry King.
See, I think with Tuvok, instead of having him do the same, the gun explosion thing on Seska like she did to Janeway, they might as well have just had Tuvok pull a rope and have a big boulder fall on her. Like, it would have been to make just as much sense.
Right, really. Yeah.
Part of it, I think, is that they have this elevation in danger level that feels...
They raise the stakes?
Yes, they raise the stakes. It feels unnecessary, and you just don't believe it.
Yeah.
You just don't believe that there are any stakes to this in particular, even within the core story. Perhaps what would have been even more fun would be a bit of a rehash of a similar Deep Space Nine episode, but where they have this security program and maybe they get stuck in the security program, but the gag is that they have to then successfully do the mutiny and take over the Voyager
and make it
really hard to do that. And that's the fun gag
that
is they have to
fun.
Use their personalities, their knowledge of the crew to actually gain control and be the bad guy. Bad guys to be the good guys.
That's a really good idea. Actually.
With nobody in danger. Other than, like, you just got to get out. You know, it is a problem that you're stuck on the holodeck or something. You know, it can be fairly low stakes. It doesn't have to be that the ship's going to blow up.
Right, because that would have made sense because it would have followed with the whole setup of the beginning of the holo novel. But this was just, like, the rest of the thing had nothing to do with the first part of the Hollow Novel. The Hollow Novel was just used as a trigger to bring her character back. It's like, oh, by the way, she's planted in this Hollow Novel.
By the by.
She's planted in this Hollow Novel for some reason. It has nothing to do with the content of the Hollow Novel. See, if the ending had anything to do with the content of the Hollow Novel, it would have been much better. But like...
Hollow Novel.
This is someone's idea of a practical joke, right?
I didn't mean to press that. Hollow Novel.
Bilana's on it.
Hollow Novel.
Bilana's on it. Hollow Novel.
All right. I'm starting to get the impression that we've discussed the majority of the key points we wanted to make. Are there any odds and ends?
I think I hit them already.
Jumped out at you. We didn't talk too much about the doctor. It was kind of funny dealing with the doctor's monstrous if he's reprogrammed.
Absolutely.
You know? And I know this isn't the real doctor. This is like the hologram doctor, but like it's the same. It's weird because the doctor is already a hologram. So to have a holographic version of the holographic doctor novel is kind of
weird.
It's kind of an odd thing.
I thought, this isn't really even a nitpick because I don't care, but I thought it was interesting. I was trying to contemplate the logic behind when the doctor was like fighting him and then Tuvok like knees the gun out of his hand. Yeah. He like knees his arm and makes him. I think he had a phaser and I think he knocked out. Anyways, he kneed him in the arm or something, and then the doctor's like, "Rrr." And then like Paris swings at him from behind, and then he passes through. It's like, why didn't he just make it pass through to begin when? Tuvok, it doesn't matter. It's not even a nitpick. It's fun, but it's like, it's like, who cares? But
it doesn't matter. But it,
but does
I just
matter.
Couldn't. I just
you
couldn't.
You want Tuvok to kick ass?
I just couldn't.
Well, he learned. He could say he learned.
Yeah, I just
he figured
yeah,
it out.
Yeah,
he's I, like, I learned.
You
I learned.
Say
oh,
learned.
I gotta be a little bit more holographic here.
I guess you're right. Maybe even though he's a hologram and a computer, he's still not like fully in control of his faculties.
He's not fully functional, unlike Commander Data.
Yeah,
Commander Jeff Data.
Jeff Data.
Yeah, Jeffrey. Canonically, his first name is Jeff.
Jeffrey Allen Data.
Yeah, Jeff Data. It's kind of fascinating they never had an episode where Data's all like, I won't have a first name.
So they had,
they had him hanging out with Joe Piscopo.
Yeah.
But they never had him being all like, I want to be named.
I want to be baptized as a Christian.
That was weird.
I shall be called Jeffrey Data.
That'd be awful if he had like a Catholic, communion type business.
Jeffrey Paul Data.
There were a couple, not too many, but there were a couple of.
Not too many, just the right amount. The right amount of what, Dan?
Cliched sort of lines. There was the whole Paris doing the joke thing, which I accidentally played too early, but it was this one.
This is someone's idea of a practical joke, right?
Like, who says stuff like that in real life? Yeah. Nobody says that.
Tom Paris
says, but that whole, like, this is some kind of a joke, right? And then they reused this concept. Okay, I'll just play it, see if you can pick up what I'm putting down here. They're each 5 seconds. It's between Tuvok and Paris.
Maybe we can go to the mess hall now and let the holographic Neelix burn my arm with a frying pan.
Your feeble attempt at wit notwithstanding.
Maybe we can go to the mess hall now and let the holographic Neelix burn my arm with a frying pan.
Sorry, I just played that one.
Your feeble attempt at wit notwithstanding.
Maybe we can go to the mess hall now and let the holographic Neelix burn my arm with a frying pan.
That's the same one.
Your feeble attempt at wit notwithstanding.
Okay, I,
what are you doing?
I screwed up. Those are supposed to be different.
Okay, but
those
you know,
were the same.
What about what you have a fourth one you can play? That's the same? Because that'd be funny.
Okay, that was really weird.
There's a sort of meditative ASMR quality to hearing the same thing over and over.
It's a trance.
Wow.
And over.
I don't know what I did.
And over.
And
again.
Over. And over. Okay. We're gonna do it.
Okay.
Now this is the first one.
Okay, we have to hear the
first
one.
We can go
again
to the mess hall now and let the holographic Neelix burn my arm with a frying pan.
Your attempts at humor are hardly constructive, Mr.
Whoops.
Paris.
Shit.
Your attempts at humor are hardly constructive.
Now
Mr. Paris.
Now is the real one. Okay, now I'm gonna play the two different things and see how they're cliched and they connect.
Maybe we can go to the mess hall now and let the holographic Neelix burn my arm with a frying pan.
Your feeble attempt at wit notwithstanding.
Okay, that's number one.
About how to escape from a ship full of insane holograms?
Your attempts at humor are hardly constructive, Mr. Paris.
After all that, did you figure it out?
Yeah. Paris talks about holograms, and then Tuvok is like, dude, you're trying to make a joke.
Why does he think
exactly
he's trying to make a joke the whole time?
I don't know, but he...
I mean, I'm confused. Did you think that was going to be something difficult to... observe from those two?
No, I just wanted to point them out. I just wanted to point out back to back. I didn't think it was like hard to figure that out. I was just saying, I was just, this was supposed to be quick. This was supposed to take 10 seconds, but I accidentally exported the same WAV file twice instead of the two separate ones.
Thrice.
So I have to actually go. So I had to go into
import export issue.
So to play them just now, I had to go into the audio file, the project file.
I had to go all the way into the project file.
And it's, I just took something that was supposed to be quick and I ruined it. I ruined it.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I think it's been a great podcast.
I agree. So let's end it.
Tell your friends.
Let's.
Yes. Besides Tuvok, if the crew doesn't get an ending, you may have a real mutiny on your hands.
Good point. Okay.
70 years.
70. 70.
Do you want to hear? Do you want to hear Tuvok's joke at the end? That was Spock-like.
Yes. I do.
If Mr. Paris and I do create another work of holofiction, I assure you, we will choose a subject much less close to home.
Ah, it's funny because they're trying to get closer to
home.
It's
funny because you're a Vulcan.
Yeah, that was a Spock joke.
Yeah.
All right. Entertaining episode. Yeah. Thank you, Algorithm. Thank you, Algorithm, for providing us with the idea to watch that episode. Without you, Algorithm, we would have never deigned to even think briefly about watching this episode. It wouldn't have come up.
Well,
we would have been looking at some other top 10 list or something and watching that one with the Kess. Or
we would have gotten to it eventually.
Algorithms.
Naomi Wildman and the clown people or whatever.
New right. Algorithms.
Anyway.
How about a fresh pot of coffee?
Why does he sound so evil there?
How about a fresh fucking pot of coffee? How about a fresh pot of coffee?
I don't like that.
They all float down here.
What? They all float?
Isn't that from It?
Yes, it is.
Sorry.
Ethan Phillips is great. Mm-hmm. Neelix is horrifying and upsetting. Ethan Phillips plays Neelix very well as a horrifying and upsetting character.
So, I recorded too many. I went a little overboard with the sound
not
this
at
week.
All.
I think I'll cut back next week. I don't want to distract.
Give us more.
But I figured this one actually had some good opportunities, especially with comparing, like, when they were doing the double over thing. When they were
Your classic double over.
The classic double over.
I know. I get what you're saying, Dan.
I did the special line 'em ups. I did the two line 'em ups.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Classic case of line 'em ups.
Wubbles.
Okay. Speaking of next week. We don't know what we'll be talking about next week.
Speaking of next week, is that what you were trying to say?
We'll have to put this podcast.
You were trying to say speaking of next week.
We'll have to put this podcast into the old algorithm, and then the algorithm will give us a list.
Algorithms.
And
algorithms.
Are we due for Deep Space Nine? Is that what you're saying? Could be
that
animated
would be
series.
My guess.
Could be animated series,
could be
maybe.
Animated,
who knows?
Algorithms.
We'll figure it out.
Whatever it is, it'll be a good one.
It'll be about Star Trek.
We'll have a good time.
But what you can do...
Tell your friends.
Yes, you can tell your friends.
I am not concerned with your amusement.
You can also go to our social media.
Oh, yeah.
Our social media is found all over the internet at It's Got Star Trek.
Wherever social media is found.
On Twitter, Mastodon, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all of it. And around Wednesday or something, we'll put up what the next episode.
I've got to be back on duty in less than an hour.
Will be. You can also, alternatively, you can go to the website. The website is located at www.itsgotstartrek.com.
Let's do it.
Yes. We should all do that. And there's all sorts of fun stuff you can check out at the website, including sorting the podcast by series. So if you're interested in just hearing our thoughts on a particular Star Trek series, you can go over there, click on that, and sort and get the numbers you need to look at.
Or if you're
just threatened the wrong woman, Chakotay.
Wait a minute, why haven't you guys talked about this episode? And then you could let us know, and we can be like, oh.
That's an order, Mr. Paris.
You can let us know on social media or via email at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. if you have something private or more lengthy that you'd like to send along. for example, if you have an opinion on how many sound effects Dan is playing in the role of the wacky morning zoo sideline producer
Is it too much?
On-air personality.
Don't worry. Milan is on it.
Milan is on it.
That's my favorite one.
Don't worry. Bilana's on it.
Don't worry.
Don't worry.
Don't worry.
Don't worry.
Bilana's on it.
Bilana's on it.
Bilana's on it.
And, don't
worry. What are you worried about?
What else do we usually say? Oh, yeah. You know, subscribe.
Cherry.
Like and subscribe. Leave reviews and all that. Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, all that business. That'd be great.
Super Mario.
If you wouldn't mind.
Whatever you say. Whatever you say.
Click the thumbs up and the likes and the hearts and all the other symbols that they put out there for you to use. All right. So I think that will do it for us this week.
That concludes.
We look forward to speaking with you next week. And, Picard's coming up too, so we'll talk about Picard soon. But otherwise, we will talk to you next week. And that's it. That's all I have to say.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Got it.
Great. Who else knows about it?
Don't worry about me. My lips are sealed.
So what's this Ayala tells me about a new Holo novel?
Get in line, Harry.